is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Australia. I welcome Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, an Australian national from the West, where glory comes from, Perth. And the people of Perth know full well that their province is as rich as any nation on earth, of natural resources, of opportunity, of land, and it faces in the right direction. The Indian Ocean Basin will be the story of the 21st century. But right now, Gregory has brought my attention to the fact that we have a decline in Australia's confidence in itself, actual performance, capabilities. I'm not sure which way we want to go on this. Gregory, a very good evening to you. It's impossible to look at the natural resources and the energy of Australia and not ask, why is this struggling? Is there one explanation? Is it only politics, or is there a doubt about the future in the Australian population? I'm unfamiliar. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, you could say that politics is the root cause of the problem facing Australia and Australians at this stage. Yes, there is a great upheaval in the society. There's been mass immigration in recent years to the point where there is a, if you like, an immigration problem. This is at least legal immigration, because the illegal immigration has been curbed to a great extent. But the legal immigration itself is distorting the shape and nature and culture of the country. That is not necessarily the problem. The problem is in the central government's philosophy, that it should be not just primus inter pares with the state governments, but that the central government in Canberra should make decisions which affect everyone's life. And it's gone particularly woke in recent years. That is on issues of immigration, on climate change and therefore energy, on manufacturing and the like. So manufacturing has declined. The woke elements of society are basically urban, which is understandable. And Australia's population is something like 90% urbanized, which means that the rural votes don't count. So the urban populations vote for policies which suit their transitory ethics, shall we say, their political correctness. And they've basically killed off a large amount of the agricultural industry. Now, when I was growing up there, it was said that Australia rode to prosperity on the sheep's back, which was largely through the export of the world's finest wool, merino wool, and secondly, on the export of fat lambs, in other words, sheep for meat. And, of course, cattle and the like as well. But in recent years, we've seen virtually the death of Australia's wool industry and the virtual or approaching death of the fat lamb trade. There's still a huge grain export capability going. But essentially, the governments, whether it's in Canberra or in each state capital, are so dominated by urban crowds that they don't even think about the fate of farming. They think that prosperity will continue to go along because, you know, Australia exports iron ore and other minerals, many other minerals, gold and nickel and so on. But the reality is that because even the mining in remote areas is done with such automation that it still doesn't bring a large voting community to, if you like, speak up for Australia's primary and resource industries. So essentially, the country is going bankrupt. The government, which is a extremely left-wing government, extremely left-wing, I should say, is essentially ignoring the rural vote, it's ignoring the resources and so on, thinks that it will the money will continue to flow in largely through Western Australia's agricultural and mineral exports, and they have nothing to worry about. But they've been bringing in so many people, ostensibly because Australia has a labour shortage, which is not really verifiable, and as a result, while the GDP of the country goes up microscopically every year, the per capita GDP declines. In other words, the actual wealth and spending power of the individual Australians is going down significantly. The industries are disappearing to a large extent. And Australia is attempting to move into a post-industrial cycle where it depends literally on white-collar industries, service industries and the like, and that's entirely artificial and unsustainable. So as we see the rest of the region, Indonesia, India and the like, going up in per capita GDP as well as overall GDP, Australia is in decline. So that's it in a nutshell. It's also attempting to take on a security burden without a proper security policy. Therefore, treaties such as AUKUS and ANZUS, the great military treaties of Australia, are going nowhere in a sense. Now, the President of the United States, President Trump, has been really angry with Prime Minister Albanese, the extreme left Labour Prime Minister of Australia, and has refused to meet with him three times in, you know, which have been attempted by Albanese this year to arrange a meeting, three times rejected. However, a few minutes ago today, Prime Minister Albanese, who's in New York at the same time as President Trump for the United Nations General Assembly, essentially got an appointment for a meeting on October the 20th. He didn't get a meeting during the UN General Assembly, which he'd hoped to do. He was rejected on that, and having been humiliated three times, now has to go home to Australia and then come back on October 20th to meet with President Trump. Now, that shows you just how angry the United States is with the country which has been its most reliable ally for more than a century. So it's not good.
I want to understand. Australia is, make sure I've got the checklist, resource rich, energy rich. Its rivers are barely tapped for the hydroelectric power you could provide. Even if you are leaning towards renewables, there's vast ability for solar power and wind power. There's a huge amount of room for development. It's in a perfect place for the future. All of that, I believe, is accurate. Have I said so far, Gregory?
Correct.
In addition, you have precious resources. You have mines. You have rare earth. You have a vast navigable coastline. You have major ports. You're the reliable law courts of Southeast Asia. And you're not vulnerable to Chinese attack, not easily anyway. All of that adds up to a superpower. Why not?
Well, the government, again, has interfered to the point where bureaucracy literally makes it impossible to start new businesses and to get manufacturing or even a resource exploitation underway. The amount of regulations which have to be dealt with are overwhelming. Right now we've seen Australia's capacity to produce its own petroleum products has almost gone. The last remaining oil refinery in Australia is going to close down fairly shortly. There is, so in other words, it's importing all of its refined oils and so on. It has a huge gas industry, which is very helpful, but the oil industry is now gone. The Bass Straits, right at the bottom of the southeast of Australia, oil fields are no longer able to be tapped. There are huge shale deposits of oil and gas in the country, but the government's regulations make it impossible to exploit. The government is now forcing the investment into alternative energy means without recognizing that the demand is not there, and the fact is that there's going to be a transition period. So there's no capability for Australia to meet its burgeoning energy needs because of the government interference. And you've got a situation where this has led to higher taxes, a massive government-induced inflation to the point where real estate in Perth, Western Australia, a small town of about 3 million, is now on a par with New York. Okay, New York's got a few more in the $100 million property range, but in Perth, you can be spending in the many millions to get a modest home, and the average price of a home in Perth is well over $1 million. So it's not a good sign. The price of McDonald's fast foods in Australia is now literally double that of the United States. And yet the per capita income and standard of living is nothing like that of the United States. So you can see where all of this is beginning to have a huge impact and is generating mass dissatisfaction. However, because of the political system, it's very hard to move an entrenched government because of the voting system, which locks the government in for another few years. So as with the United Kingdom, you've got a problem being able to if you like, overturn a government. And yet the parliamentary system should have allowed for that to be a feasible approach where you can have a vote of no confidence, as we saw in the French parliament recently, and remove the government. But you can't get away with that at the moment in Australia. So we're seeing this absolute reversal of Australia from being a major scientific and industrial country to being one bereft of heavy industry. It's still making incredible strides in science. Western Australia in particular, or Perth, is in the vanguard of creating scientific and medical breakthroughs, but they can't be exploited in Australia. They have to move those patents and findings into the United States or Europe in order to get the ability to transform the discoveries into practical benefits for the community.
Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs. Wisdom comes with age, does it? This is CBS Eye on the World. When we come back, the Chinese Communist Party is older. I'm John Batchelor.